Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, you are so good to us, so kind to us. We thank you for the work you're doing in the life of our church, the life of our churches in this area. And we thank you that we are united with a group of churches partnering to proclaim the gospel or to disciple and to worship the name of Jesus. Lord, open our eyes this morning as we come before your word. Lord, open our eyes in awe of who you are. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The famous song begins like this. I have climbed the highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you, only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls only to be with you, only to be with you. And many of you can finish it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We know these famous words by Bono have been around for a while and have been made very popular. But that last phrase, I began to think about that as I was preparing for this message, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And this is a theme of our culture. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And as we look around, and as we look at our family, our friends, our co-workers, as we look at ourselves in the mirror, this seems to be a common theme that many identify with. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. My question for us this morning that I hope to examine through God's Word is this: where is the peace of the Spirit? The contentment that we find by knowing Jesus, where is it in our churches today? Where is it in our own soul? Can we echo, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for? Or is there a way that we as believers can find contentment and peace in Christ? If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse, we'll begin in 17. And as you're doing that, I want to remind you, and many of you know the fruit of the Spirit. Can we say those together for those of you who know them? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, stop right there. Peace. Let's just stop for a moment. Because we begin to see them as a list rather than as an evidence of spiritual life within us. This morning, I want to examine within us, and I would like for you to examine in yourself. Do you have peace growing in your spirit? Do you have peace welling up inside of you? Because that, my brothers and sisters, is evidence of the Holy Spirit in you. Peace welling up and saying, when my legs are cramping, I have peace. When I have cancer, I have peace. When our brothers and sisters in Texas see their waters rising around their home, but I have peace. When we have a child that will not listen, I have peace. When we have a boss who is oppressive, I have peace. Or friends, have we still not found what we're looking for? Context is important, and so I want to remind you where we are in the book of 1 Corinthians. We've just talked about marriage and relationships, and we just recently looked at someone being abandoned or left by an unbelieving spouse. And how do we respond to that? How does Paul encourage a believing spouse who's been left by an unbeliever to stand? And Paul encourages him. He says, you have to let them go sometimes. Because it's not your job. You don't know that you're to save them. And if they want to leave, you may do more damage by following them out the door. And that led us into a three-week study on marriage. And the theme of our marriage study was this. Marriage is about God. Marriage is about God. And I don't want us to abandon that idea as we get into the next section, which really is about marriage, but he's going to expand the horizon and say it's not merely that marriage is about God. He's going to say every relationship and every identity that you have is about God as well. So as we do that, our goal this morning is to say our other relationships and our standing with other people, those relationships are too about God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. Paul finishes his thoughts on marriage by segueing into another major truth, and that is this: the Lord is sovereign over every calling in your life. And that is why, as we read that first phrase, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. And you see it there. That verse is clear, that the Lord has assigned. There is an assigning that takes place in the lives of human beings. And that is the assignment that the Lord has given. I do not think Paul uses his words flippantly. Rather, I believe that Paul is direct in saying, this is what I'm trying to communicate. The Lord assigns things in our lives. And it is our job not to do the assigning, but to lead the life and to follow the life that the Lord has assigned for us. Do you see the difference? Our lives are about God. And God does the ordaining and the assigning of things, and we live the day by day under the assignment that He has given us. Now, we live in a culture, you and I do, that doesn't like authority. We live in a culture that likes to define everything about ourselves. We like to define who we are. We like to define where we live, what we do, what we eat. We even want to change the God-given innate qualities of our body and our humanity, because we don't like God making decisions for us as a culture. But as we come, believer, to this passage of Scripture, we've come face to face with a reality that God designs who we are. And He designs every bit about our bodies and every bit about our culture that we've, and the time we've been born in and the culture that we live. We are under the great and sovereign hand of God. And while some would balk at this idea, Christian, brother, sister, I feel it is, as what Paul says, it is our job to rejoice in this greater authority. Could it be the reason that so many Americans and people around this world still haven't found what we're looking for is because we haven't recognized that God is sovereign and that we are His children and we are living in the life that God has assigned to us? As you know, I really love going to Haiti. I love the people there. And as you know, a little bit about their culture, most of them are very poor. They do not have much in their name. Most of them sleep on a concrete floor with cinder blocks around them. They may have a mattress if they're blessed. And they may have concrete walls if they're blessed. But many of them, they just live destitute lives. And you talk to many of them, and their goal in life is, I want to go to America. I want to go to the United States. And in my heart of hearts, I think through the thought of, I live there, I know lots of people there, and when you get there, Haitian friend, you still would not have found what you're looking for. How many Americans do we have that medicate their pains away, that can't find contentment, and even though we have pillows under our head every night, and air conditioning on our bodies nearly 24 hours a day, Where is the contentment? And it's not just an American thing. It's around this world. It is pervasive. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this text? Well, if we are indeed Christians and the fruit of the Spirit is being born within us, then peace should show. I wonder why it is that many men seek for a better wife, or many ladies seek for a better job, many pastors seek for a better church, or even today, many people seek for a better gender or gender identity. Could it be because we have not understood that God is sovereign and that the great peace that wells up within us is understanding who God is and who we are? Ask yourself the question. Ask our culture, ask your family and your friends this question. Why are we so unhappy? Really, why are we so unhappy? We live in a culture that gives us everything, and yet we're always in want of more. Y'all still with me this morning? In less than a month, the latest and greatest iPhone will be released, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people will trade in their high-tech equipment that they got a year ago, and we'll get the brand new iPhone because it will do something different and something better. Because America still hasn't found what we're looking for. And guess what? I've got breaking news. I've got a prediction. It's better than the blood moons, Brother Chaz. It's better. The next year, there's going to be another phone come out, and it's going to be better than the one that they're going to release in 3 weeks. It's a bold prediction, I know, but there it is, and people are going to buy it because their phone will not be good enough next year. And you replace that with a new boat or a new house or a new job or a new community or a new spouse or a new gender identity, whatever you want to pick, you fill in the blank, there will be something new, it will look better. But listen to the Word of God. Will you, church? Would you hear the word of God this morning? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Amen. Could it be that we have missed the one who truly does fill our soul? Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Could it be that no phone, no wife, no gender, no job, no green grass, and no white picket fence will ever satisfy our soul? Could it be that we are designed and made for another world, and that our only joy and contentment would be found when we fill that desire with something otherworldly? Thank you, C.S. Lewis. Listen to the Word of God, church. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10 says this, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong." I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit wells up within my soul. And I don't need something to make me content. Contentment is coming from within, and it is the power of God within me brewing contentment in my soul. Not because I've acquired something, not because we've found something, Mr. Bono, but because He is doing something in us. There is a big difference. Hear the word of the Lord. Church family, Philippians chapter 4, and in context, might I add, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation that I am to be what? Content. Because it doesn't matter what's going on outside, it matters that God is working within me. The Spirit of God is moving in me. You want to talk about someone filled with the Spirit? You look at someone who doesn't have to have or have to be. This is being filled with the Spirit. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in any circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. It is a spiritual work within us. And yes, in context, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is what he's talking about. The strengthening comes from the Spirit within me, not the doing or the having or the being somewhere. It is the strengthening, an internal strengthening of the Spirit in us, giving us the peace that he's promised as the fruit of the Spirit. This is context. So the question begs itself. All right, preacher. So you're telling me just whatever it is, don't worry about anything. Have no ambitions, have no dreams, just be a receiver, take everything as it comes, right? That's the question. Oh, you're saying be content. I know a lot of content people. They just sit around and do nothing. Is that what Paul is telling us? No way! No way! No! 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 Paul of all people would never say that. He would say, find your peace in knowing that God is ordaining all things to be. But do not be lazy. How often does the Bible speak against laziness? Paul himself would say in Romans chapter 15, he'd say, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. Paul said, I'll go anywhere. I'm going anywhere. My ambition is to do what God has commanded me to do, preach the gospel. But I'm going to have peace in knowing that it's not my job to make the ship make it to the other side. My ship might wreck, which it did. And he floated in the sea. Paul's in jail and he's singing praise songs. Why? Because he has the fruit of the Spirit in him. And when he gets out of jail, what's he going to do? He goes and preaches the gospel. He's not lazy. He just has given the role of a sovereign authority to the Lord himself. And he said, I'll be obedient in what you've called me to do, but I'm not going to try to take your job, God. Contentment does not mean we have no ambition or we're not lazy. It means I can have inner peace and contentment and joy in my soul when things are not right and the way that I want them on the outside. Do we see the difference? There is a massive difference. Now, let me read these words again. I have climbed the highest mountains. I have run through the fields. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled the city walls only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Nothing he will find will make him happy. Save the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God welling up within him. So I pause for a moment to ask the question, have you found what you're looking for? And the question that I must follow up with is, where are you looking? Because you can climb highest mountains, you can run through the fields, you can even scale the city walls, but unless you are looking for Jesus, you will echo that you still have not found what you're looking for. Coach Ogeron can beat Alabama by 30 points this year.
Amen.
still won't find what he's looking for. Friend, may I say this? There's a deep, deep need in the soul of every human being to find redemption and fellowship with his God. And there is a crying out from within each of us that says, there's something wrong with me. And you can look around at each one that you know, you can say, there's something wrong with them. And you're right. Because every soul and every human being deep down inside knows that they need a Savior. And they find different ways to mask that need and different ways to try to assuage that need. But nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ will ever fill that need. The example we were shown this morning by Brother Stephen. Looking. Maybe if I get baptized, things will change. And that was his testimony to you if you heard it this morning. I thought that if I got baptized, everything would be better and I'd know the Lord. And then he found out. It's not about getting wet or taking a public bath, but it's about surrendering to Jesus Christ and being changed from the inside out. And that water is just a picture of what has already happened in his soul. Because he settled on Jesus. And he said, I am willing to stop looking and stop scaling city walls and stop running and crawling and all of these antics that I'm putting my life through. And I'm willing to settle on Jesus Christ as my Lord. And I will find my great joy in him. Have you found what you're looking for, Stephen? He's still looking for that victory over Alabama. But you found something better. Let's go on to verse 18. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? And this is the working out of what he's saying. Be content. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Well, what's going on here? Talking about circumcision. And why does that matter to grown men? And why is Paul talking about it to Corinth? Well, it was kind of a big deal back in the day because circumcision was a sign of the covenant. And any Jewish person would understand, and their family would have said, circumcision means you're under the promise of God. And if you're not circumcised, that means you are formally rejecting God's blessing upon you. And so every Jew, when they were born, their parents would say, okay, we've got to circumcise this son of ours so that he's under the promise of God. And so it's what it's receiving there. And so Paul says, he's addressing this issue going on here. And he says, was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Well, don't seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Well, what happened was when Jesus came, and what Paul has been teaching is, look, it's not about circumcision anymore. It's not about the covenant of Abraham anymore. It's about Jesus. He has brought a new covenant, one in which the outward doesn't matter. It's about Jesus and the circumcision of the heart. And in the same way that we look at this water as a symbol of what happened in Stephen's heart already, circumcision is a symbol of what Jesus has done to our heart. He has given us a new heart and peeled away the hardness of our heart and revealed to us the trueness of heart. So Paul says, you don't need to be circumcised to be right with God. You need to be circumcised in your heart to be right with God. Don't seek it. You don't need it now. Brother Stephen, you don't need to be baptized to be right with God. It's a symbol of what has happened within you, and you do it out of obedience, but the act doesn't make you right with God. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Don't hide it. Don't be content. You are where you are. Focus on what matters. And look, that's what he's talking about in verse 19. He says, for neither circumcision counts for anything, or uncircumcision for that matter, but keeping the commandments of God. Paul's argument is the externals no longer matter. You are under a new covenant. Look what he says in Galatians chapter 5 elsewhere in the New Testament. He says this, for in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. And look how he says it here. And I want us to look at the way he says it here. It's very interesting. But only faith working through love. Now, in 1 Corinthians, if you could pull that verse back up, we're going to toggle back through the two. I want you to look at the difference. In verse 19, he says this, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. Same first phrase, but he says it this way, but keeping the commandments of God. And then in Galatians, he says something different. But only faith working through love. So which is it? Is it keeping the commandments of God? Or is it faith working through love? The answer is yes, it is both of those. Because they're the same thing. And this should awaken us to a little bit. As a believer under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, as a believer who has been born again, who has laid the old life to death, who has repented of their old way and is living a new life, keeping the commandments of God is not a checklist every day that we go through. It is working in faith through love. That is keeping the commandments. So that's what he says our job is to do. This is what a transformed heart does. So later in Galatians, in chapter 6, when he says this, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So I would go on to argue even further that the keeping of the commandments, the faith working through love, is all the evidence of Galatians 6:15, which says you're a new creation when you're doing these things. So Stephen, as you walk through life, you are showing the evidence of your spiritual rebirth by faith walking through love because you are a new creation. Galatians 6:15. It is the result of the work that's been done in you. And that is why I tried to make clear, to express to us, what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. So Christian, let's make this apply. Let's talk about this. The way of the world, the way of the man of the flesh, the way of the unregenerated natural man is to look for his contentment on something outside of himself. Or to try to find contentment in yourself. And many books are sold, just be happy with who you are, or make yourself into something and then be happy with that new person, that new version of you. It is something that is foreign to what the believer, the follower of Jesus, says, I am born again and my contentment comes not from anything out there or anything in here. It comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. And this is the difference between what it means to be Christian and what it means to be anything else. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who finds his joy in Him. So my question for you would be this morning to close our time together is this. Are you content in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you strengthened internally, Philippians 4:13, by the Spirit of God to have contentment no matter what's going on? Do you have the fruit of God's Spirit welling up within you, providing peace in your soul? If you do not, then Jesus Christ is calling and commanding you to come unto Him today and to repent of your sin and be born again and be made a child of God. John chapter 1, we read it in our Sunday school class this morning. He came into His own, but His own received Him not. But to all who did receive Him, to all who believed in His name, believed in Him enough to abandon the world and embrace Jesus Christ, to all who believed in Him, He gave the right to become what, church? Children of God. Do you want to be a child of God this morning? Believe in the name, the only one that can save your soul. Glory to God. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Forfeit what you still haven't found and embrace Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your Word, that it is powerful and effective, and that it is true, and the truth that Jesus and Jesus alone saves. Lord, I pray for hearts to be made new this morning. We pray that Stephen's life, moving forward, would grow in joy in knowing You. Lord, may we find what we're looking for. And may the joy of the Lord be our strength. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.